on a Christ-centered or a child-centered home. And we looked at last time, which was a couple weeks ago, we looked at Eli and his boys and how that was a completely child-centered home. And we're still looking at the child-centered home. So as we jump into this, let's go ahead and pray so I don't forget to do that and ask God's blessing on this time here. Father, I thank you for bringing us together, Lord. I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit, Lord. God, forgive me for the sin in my life, Lord. Help me to walk right with you, to follow the light that you've given me, Lord, to guide and lead me, and that I would be obedient to listen to it. Lord, I pray that those that are here would be submitted to your Spirit and to your will, Lord, and that there wouldn't be anyone here who's obstinate, who's maybe hardened their neck towards the Word of God, and I pray you would help them if they are, Lord, that you would soften them. You'd go in and break their hard heart up. And Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that today they would trust you as their Savior. Today they'd be born again. Today they would see their need for the forgiveness that only you can give. Because they're lawbreakers, Lord God. They've broken your commandments. They're condemned already, and you'll send them to a devil's hell because they're guilty. But Lord, show them that they can have forgiveness through the blood of your Son, through the resurrection of your Son, that you met every demand of the law, Lord, and you will give us eternal life if we, in repentance, will turn to you and receive that free gift. God, thank you for that promise. Please, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today they'd get saved. Today would be the day. And just help me as I preach your word. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Please use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so a child-centered home. In a child-centered home, the child can be entertained or coddled out of a bad mood. You know, this is usually done through bribery. We're going to give them this. We'll give them this. Oh, well, what do you want? What do you want? And you know, sometimes it's just a baby's just like, wah, wah. And the kid, I mean, I've seen the parents just running around frantic trying to offer this child something to give it whatever it wants so it'll stop crying. That is not a God-centered home. That's a child-centered home. And I'm telling you, all these characteristics we've looked at, and I gave you guys the handout probably like 4 months ago now. I don't know how long ago it was. It was a little while ago. But I gave you guys the handout that dealt with all of this, and all of those, if we are going to let our children live in a child-centered home, all that we're going to do is hurt our children. We're not going to help them for the cause of Christ. We're not going to help the cause of Christ. We're just going to harm our children, and if anything, keep them from coming to salvation. Because it's all about them, and they don't see themselves as being wrong and wicked. Hey, you ought to punish your kids when they sin. Amen. When they lie, you ought to get after them. You ought to whoop them. Why? You're teaching them something. You're teaching them a truth from the Word of God. You're teaching them that there's consequences for sin. Right. And that's beginning. You're teaching them, fathers especially, you're teaching them to fear you. So, well, I don't want my child to fear me. No, you're teaching them a proper fear. Amen. They need that. When your children are young and they're little, you all know my father died when I was 5 years old. The point my father died, the age I was, he was still Superman. He could do anything. Strongest man in the world, he could do anything. I didn't know all his faults and frailties and all that. I didn't know about any of that because I saw my dad and I was 5 years old and my dad was big and strong. I mean, you wouldn't believe it by looking at me, but my dad was 6 foot. And I remember walking with him when I was a little kid. I know, Andrea's laughing. All right, she's laughing at me. But my dad was 6 foot. He was tall and he was dark. I mean, he was darker than anybody in here. You guys are like, what? Because I'm like glowing white, right? I mean, you look in here, it's like pretty white. But my dad was a dark man. And he was 6 foot. And I remember just as a little kid, I remember walking with him and trying to keep up with him. I could not ever keep up with him. I mean, I'd be like, you know, trying to keep up with him. And he was 6 foot. And I just remember him just like big old long strides. It seemed like he was walking everywhere like this. And I'm like running, trying to keep up with him. And, you know, that's how I remember my dad. He was just big and strong. And that's how I looked at him. And I feared my dad. If he said something, it was like, you know, if I did something wrong, I knew I didn't want to be around dad because I'm going to get whooped. And I still remember the one whooping I remember from him. My sister's friends, I probably told all of you, but it's funny, so I'm going to tell you again. All right, I remember my sister's friend was there. I don't even remember what it was. But how many of you remember like those brushes that they had? And it would be like hard plastic. You guys remember those? Okay, well, we had one of those, and I don't remember what happened, what she did, but she went running out the front door, and there was some steps going down it, and then it was into our driveway. We had a circle drive, and I went running out after her, and I mean, she's probably like 7, and I'm probably like 4, and I just remember, had this brush in my hand, and I just chucked it, I was just, boom, and man, it just, like a guided missile right for her nose. Boom! Hit her in the nose. She got a bloody nose. She started crying right there. My dad hears the crying. He comes out. I mean, he comes like, what's going on? And I mean, he's like, oh, you know, I pictured him like he's standing up like this. What's going on here? You know, I doubt it was like that, but that's how he came out. And I just remember being like, oh, you know, kind of just freaked out because now I know I'm going to get it. And he saw what was happening. My sister was like, Orlando, you throw the brush at her. And I was like, oh, man. And then I just remember him walking out there. He went down the steps, he picked up that brush, and he grabbed that brush, and he just started marching for me, and he just swooped me up. I remember just boom, just grabbed me with his arm and walked me inside and just whap, 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 just started hitting me with that brush. And I tell you what, I never threw another brush at a girl again. I feared my dad. You know, we get in the book of Proverbs here. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs also it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we punish our children for them doing wrong, they look at us like we're God. On purpose. God designed it that way on purpose. We know we're not God, but that's how they look at us. They see us parents as God. We give them everything. Without us, they die. We provide everything for them. And it's to teach them something. There's punishment for wrongdoing. And it'll come from the Father. So if we represent God to them and we don't punish them for their sin, what are we teaching them? That God doesn't punish for sin. That's exactly what we're teaching them. We have to punish them for their sin. And we're teaching them and tell them, that's a sin. When you lied to mommy, that's a sin. You're a liar. You shouldn't tell little kids that. Yes, you should. Amen. You're teaching them it's wrong. And there's a consequence for that. But a child-centered home doesn't do that. They try to entertain or coddle the child out of a bad mood. I got a way of getting kids out of a bad mood. I got a bad mood fixer. And it's in a drawer. It's a little paddle about this long. I can fix that bad mood for you. And I will if I need to. As they've gotten older, it's not so much anymore. But when they were little, I'd be on them. When they're younger, I'm gonna have to whoop you. Fix your attitude. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to your mom like that. Man, dads, you ought to be down your kid's throat, man, when they're disrespectful to your wife.
Amen.
Amen. Be all over them.
That's right.
You don't talk to your mom like that.
Amen.
Get after them. Don't let them do that. Don't let them learn that disrespect. They honor her. They honor her. That's how it ought to be. We don't coddle them out of a bad mood. You could say, hey, you know what? You're in a bad mood. Why don't you go to your room and just calm down? That's okay to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Send them to their room. They need to learn how to figure things out for themselves as well.
Amen.
I still have to learn how to figure things out for myself. Right. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood and I'm just like, I don't want to be around anyone. I need to be alone. I don't want to say something I shouldn't say. So I need to be alone and get a hold of myself and just get over it and quit throwing my little fit. I've got to do that still. I wish I'd have had some more of that training when I was younger. It'd make it easier today.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. We only hurt our kids when we let them get away with things. We're not helping them. So when a child's set at home, the child is entertained or coddled out of a bad mood. Okay, look, this is what you do when you're playing with your siblings or your cousins or something, and you're the older cousin, and you do something and you make them cry. And you hear them crying and you're like, oh, shh, here. And you start doing something to make them laugh or something like that, you know. I remember I sometimes just punch myself in the face to get them to start laughing. That way I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble. Just, okay. Sorry. I mean, that's what just entertaining them out of a bad mood, okay. In a child-centered home, the child perceives that the entire family exists to please him and make him happy. This is most evident. You see this most evident with infants. That you, I mean, the family revolves around that little baby. And it's like everybody's got to jump. When that baby cries, it's like, boom, how high? Amen. Say, how high do I jump? It ought not to be that way. But the same thing happens as kids get older too. The family exists to please me and make me happy. As they get older and they throw their fit, everyone's scrambling and jumping around. What do we do? What do we do? How can we help you? How can we get you out of this? Okay. Whoa, we're here. What do you need? Nuh-uh. Nope. Get our fixer out. You know, and as kids get older, it'll change. I'm not saying I'm against if even one of my daughters, if I had to, the age they are, I would paddle them if I had to. But I don't ever see that even being an issue right now. Normally it's like, all right, I'm going to take this from you. You can't do this. You can't do that. Because that gets them more. They're like, oh, my social life. Oh. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. That's how you hurt them most. And not that you're trying to hurt them. You're trying to teach them. So parents, we ought to be careful as we are trying to help our children and not and teach them that the family doesn't exist to make you happy. But in training our children, what we need to do is you need to give them a little rope, but not so much they can really hurt themselves. So say, here, you can go and you can do this. And they get to the end of that rope and they're, oh, but I want to go there. And you say, no, I'm not letting you go there. You can't go that far. Here, there's trouble right here, but you need to learn, you know, how to take some stands and things like that. We have to teach our children how to live in this world, but I'm not going to give you so much rope that you will hurt yourself. Look, every year, graduation time, it shows up. Every year, you know, you've got homecoming. Every year at prom. Every year at the winter ball and all that nonsense that goes on right there. You've got this happens. Every year, some child dies because they're out driving drunk. Every year, why? Because a parent said, hey, go ahead, have all the rope you want. They say, well, I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. Man, I had friends like that they wouldn't do it. But I would. Right. And I'm the one driving. But they weren't doing wrong. Yeah, but their life will end just the same. So what do we do? I'm not giving you that much rope. Nope, you can go right here. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. What's wrong with you? How come I can't do that? All my friends are doing it. Because I said. Amen. Well, where's that at in the Bible? Go to Exodus chapter 20. Amen. There we go. Ephesians 6 as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise. Where's it at in the Bible? Right there. Your parents said. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you. It's the same reason I don't let, you know, we didn't let our little kids when they were toddlers, we didn't let them, you know, stick things in the light socket. Well, come on, all my friends are doing it. Why can't I? I just want to play, just get a little charge. You know what I'm saying? Come on, this is the same nonsense that young adults are going to say. This is the same stuff, the same things they're going to say. Well, my friends are doing it. There's nothing wrong. Well, I know I got five friends that did it. They didn't get hurt.
Right.
See, it just changes. But it's the same. You still got to teach them. You got to train them. See, when the family exists to make the child happy, all we're doing is helping fulfill end time prophecy. And we need to ask ourselves, why are so many Christian parents helping to fulfill last day's prophecies? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look, as I'm teaching this, I told us all before we even started this. I warned everybody. And I said, I'm not coming after anybody specifically. And that is still true. I am not doing that. I'm not trying to pick on anybody specifically. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But I love all of you too much to not say some of the things that I've said and that I'm going to say. I love you too much not to do that. I care about you enough that I'll tell you the truth. Will you hate me because I tell you the truth? Let me give you one better. Will you hate the word of God because you hear the truth? Will you despise the word of God? We just read it in Proverbs. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool will despise what the Word of God says. A fool will sit in here right now and turn their ears off from what I'm saying. A fool will do that. You're no different than a drunkard. You're no different than a drunkard. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're a fool. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How come I can't go with my friends? Because they're sinners and they're going to entice you to do wrong. That's why. Why don't I go to a bar? Because God said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go with them. That's why I don't go to a bar. Because sinners entice me. And I'm not strong enough. I'm too weak. I'll fail. It's the same for you. And if you think you're strong enough, you've already deceived yourself. You're already lying to yourself. You're already wrong. You're already acting as a fool. So why are we helping fulfill last day's prophecies? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Get this. Look, we're talking about, hey, letting a child think that the family exists to please that child and make that child happy. Here's what it says in the last days, these perilous times, these dangerous times. Here's what it's going to look like. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous, meaning it's all about me. I love myself. Give it to me. I want it. What I want. I don't care what the rest of you want. You make me happy. And I've seen those two-year-olds just throwing a fit there, kicking, screaming, hitting their parents. Man, I want to step in and whoop that kid when I see that. It drives me crazy. Like, you're just hurting that child. And then you're going to unleash him on the rest of us. And they're going to end up killing someone because they didn't get what they want and end up in prison. Or dead themselves. Because you loved them so much, you couldn't paddle them. You couldn't spank them. I just love little Timmy too much. Well, and then he's 25 years old. You know, I've been a lifelong criminal. You know, rap sheet. You know, as long as this aisle right here kills somebody and just mom's there being interviewed on TV. Well, I don't see how he could do it. He was such a good boy. And I know I'm being a little sarcastic, but it's the truth. You've all heard that. You've all witnessed that. We've all seen it. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Look, who are we letting our kids look up to? Who do we let our children look up to? Is it all these idiots on sports? Because all they are is lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They blaspheme God. They're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful. They're unholy. Most of them, if not all, are without natural affection. Who do we let our kids look up to? Who are their role models? Why don't we start taking that stuff from them? Remove it from our homes. All of us. But this is what we let our kids act like. Without natural affection, truth breakers. You don't have to keep your word. Your word doesn't matter. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You ever tried to stand for right and you had a bunch of your friends start making fun of you and try and talk you into doing wrong? You ever been there? I've been there. I've been there before. What are these people? They're despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. See, it's all about me. I love, please me. I don't care what God wants. Because it's about me. And we're teaching our children this is okay. This is most homes in America. This is what most homes in America teach. And it says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. But denying the power thereof. From such, what are we supposed to do? Turn away. Don't be like them. Nearness is likeness. Show me your friends, and I'll show you what you're like. Show me your friends, and I can tell you why you got a rotten attitude. I've seen it with my kids too many times, way too many times, that I can see their rotten attitude. It doesn't matter how old they are. From the age they are now all the way down to when they're 2-3 years old. Who are they spending time with? Come back talking back and all this stuff. I mean, I've seen it too many times. Show me your friends, I'm going to tell you who you're going to be like. I know why you got a rotten attitude. As soon as our kids came home with a rotten attitude, I said, who are you hanging out with? Me and my wife, within like a day or two, who are you hanging out with? Who are you spending time with at school? Well, they're just my friends. My kids don't sound like that, okay? It's other people's kids, because my kids get embarrassed about that. Well, it's just my friends. So we had to do something drastic. And my kids, my girls, last 2 years in high school, one's a senior, one's a junior. Because of that influence, harming my children, we said, no, that's it. Yanked them from a Christian school they'd gone to all their life. Why? Because I love them that much.
Amen.
I love them that much. From such, turn away. That's what God says to do. From such, turn away. Look, that's no different for us at work with the men and women that we work with. Okay, it's no different. You have to work with them, then work with them. Look, some of you that are in school still, you have to go to school with them, then go to school with them. But you don't have to be with them all the time. You don't have to hang out with them after work. You know, you don't need to go eat with all the fellows after work. Don't just say, no, that's okay. Unless you're going to go and preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
If you're going to do that, but then you go bold. Be like Felicitas. Then you stand and you take your stand and do those things. But look, it says, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're just led away with divers lusts. It's all about what I want. See, the child-centered home teaches the child that it's all about them, and we are all here to make you happy. And we're only harming our children if that's what we're teaching them. Again, let me ask you guys if you remember, what's that one word that'll help you most in your parenting? No. No.
Amen.
No. And then here's a good backup to that one. Man, I like this too. This is good advice. Write this one down too. All right? This one's going to be good. I'm telling you right now, okay? This is going to be good. You're going to like this. All right? After you say no, they're going to say why.
Yep.
Okay, here's another one. All right? Yeah, this one's three words, okay? Because I said. Woo! They like that one. They like, that's a good one right there. All right, I'm picking on some of these kids, but look, this is all stuff I got told.
Amen.
This is all stuff I got told. You say, Pastor, just being mean. My dad's just being mean. No, this is stuff I got told too.
Amen.
No, and I had the same chippy attitude. Well, why? Why not? My friends get too. I said the same thing.
Amen.
If your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? Yeah. You know, dumb kid. A dumb little brat.
Amen.
And I needed someone to tell me no. More than I got it. I'm telling you right now, more than I got it.
Amen.
More than I got it. I'm not picking on you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. Okay, maybe I'm making fun of you a little bit, but I'm making fun of myself too because I was right there. And I guarantee you ask all these adults, they're like, yeah. Yeah, to some degree or another, we were all like, I did that too. I acted like that too. I said that too. You know, but I'm telling you all this because I love you. But parents, we've got to put our foot down because we love our children.
Amen.
Because we love our children. Look, God puts His foot down with us. Man, He put Jonah in the belly of that whale.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now. God will whoop you because you're His child. If He doesn't whoop you, that's another evidence of salvation. God doesn't come after you and chasing you. It's because you're not His.
Amen. Amen.
Bible says you're a bastard. Yeah, what? You're without a father. So it's a good thing when you feel rotten for your sin. It's a good thing.
Amen.
You should. So are we having a child-centered home or a Christ-centered home? Now, next time we jump into this, we're going to look at a Christ-centered home. That's where we're going to next. So we will be, hopefully next week, if we can get this martyr's hour down to a martyr's minute. All right? Look here, let me just say, again, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never had your sins forgiven through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, I want you to know that.
Amen.
Parents, as we have this time of invitation, I want you to maybe bring your whole family down and say, you know what, maybe things are great in our house, but let's pray as a family. Let's pray and ask God to help us. My family, I'm going to have you, when the invitation starts, I want you to come down. And we're going to have no music, but I just want us to pray as a family. You don't have to. I don't want anyone to feel like they have to. But that's what we're going to do. Because we mess up and we need God's help. And I want wisdom as a parent because I don't always know how to handle every situation. And a lot of them I do it wrong. You know, just this last week, I handled a situation wrong and I had to apologize to my daughter. Or it was the week before. I was just rude, mean, and I had to go and apologize to her and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. We don't have it all together. We're still learning.
Amen.
And we all need to be willing to do that. Maybe it's your children are out of the house. Then ask God to help you be a godly influence over them as much as you can, as much influence as you can have.